Hello everyone, this is Shannon Meyer, founder and co-creator of the Positive Impact Movement. And I'm here happy to share with you a conversation I have co-created with a socially conscious leader that inspires and empowers us to connect to our heart, to be who we are, and to create what we love for a better world. I hope you enjoy it. Love you lots. Hello, everyone. This is Janet Meyer, and I'm here with John McDonald,
Hi.
Yogi John, and I'm yes, and I'm so happy to have you here, John, co-creating conversation with me and flowing in our being, so that people can listen to us and enjoy our conversation of what it will be. We never know. But I had already had a conversation with you, and I enjoyed it so much. Now it was 2 hours.
Yeah, flew by.
It absolutely flew by. Yes, yes, I loved it. Yeah. And well, I wanted, first of all, to give you time and to start there, to introducing yourself, why you call yourself Yogi John, which I love, by the way. And then we go from there.
Well, you know, it's a long story. I've just turned 67 a couple of months ago, Jeanette. So it's going to be a long story, isn't it? And let me say to you, thank you very much indeed for inviting me to speak with you. It's an absolute pleasure and a joy and honor to be asked. Thank you. And, you know, you had me at World Without Governments. And this is, you know, a fantastic ideal to have in mind. And it's music to my ears, because it goes even further than, even as a staunch libertarian, it goes even further than I would go, which I'm all for that. I like things to be full on, no half measures, radical, which that really is. And but to answer your question, Yogi John, it's only really quite recently that I've started calling myself that. I've come out of the closet recently as the yogi that I am. And it's a very long story, Jeanette. For anyone to make sense, for anyone to be able to make any sense of my bizarre roller coaster of a life story, the one thing that you know, how do you have how does anyone have a meteoric rise in the corporate world that's followed by a plummeting descent into the homeless gutters of Las Palmas, which is then followed by, you know, a steady rise from there, albeit with some ups and downs, of course, and twists and turns. How does that happen? Well, the one thing that explains it all is hardcore alcoholism, which is always progressive. You know, it starts off as just, you know, somebody who enjoys a drink, it then turns into a drink problem. And in time, it just makes one's life completely unmanageable, beyond unmanageable. So that's what makes sense of it, of this meteoric rise followed by plummeting descent, followed by, yeah, more or less with ups and downs, a nice steady rise again, recovery. That's what we call. I am a recovering alcoholic now, more than 28 years teetotal, fully abstinent, and happily so, effortlessly so. Well, 28 years ago and a few months, I had no alternative but to go to the only place where I knew I would find salvation, which was Alcoholics Anonymous. And in the big book, well, in Spain, I was in Spain, it isn't the big book, it's El Libro Azul, the blue book, because the big book contains the main text of the book, followed by 100 individual stories of the first 100 members of AA, but they are so vernacular and dated in the America of that time, in the 30s when it started, that they just are not translatable into Castilian Spanish in any way that makes sense. They're too slangy, there's too much idiom, it doesn't work. So it's a shorter book, in Alcoholics Anonymous of Spain, called, known affectionately as El Libro Azul. And after it gives the famous 12 steps, Los Doce Pasos, it goes on to say, lo importante es que estamos dispuestos a crecer según las líneas espirituales, which is a translation from the original big book, which says, the point is, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. Now, whenever, Jeanette, I see any text in any text, the phrase, the point, I assume that everything else then is merely a point. and can be more or less be discarded. The point is we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And so I knew it was all or nothing. Embrace that or I'll be dead in 2 years. And, you know, in a way that's been an absolutely pointless, wasted life. So I did. I embraced that. And it wasn't long before, after that, which had already been on the scene, it wasn't long after that that the Eastern philosophy of Sanatana Dharma, eternal wisdom, the Hindu Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, the Upanishads and so on, also the Buddhist literature, the Taoist literature. And that was what spoke to me most. And in no way was contradictory to my strong Christian upbringing in terms of what I knew Yeshua was really saying and not reported as saying, what I understood. Now, before I launched on this long monologue today, I ought to have explained to you something. I ought to have explained to you and also explained to our dear listener that I'm a typical introvert in that I vastly prefer listening to speaking, and I'm much better at it, although you wouldn't think so. The flip side is, the problem is, if you ever get me started speaking, you won't get me stopped. So I should have said to you at the outset to just interrupt me and move me on to another question. But that's why, Yogi John, I've done more than 10,000 hours now of, you know, dedicated, devoted yogic sadhana or spiritual practice, and they do say, don't they, that 10,000 hours of anything makes you an expert. Yes. And a little while ago, the calling to guide others on the spiritual journey just became too strong to ignore. And I was able to go beyond imposter syndrome and say, right, instead of always saying, who am I to be a spiritual guide, to actually begin to ask the question, heck, who am I not to be a spiritual guide, for crying out loud?
True. And plus, knowing all the experience you've had, and for me, you're a socially conscious leader, you know, because you are servicing others through your own experience. And with your service others, you service yourself, you grow through that. And also another thing that you just said, who are you not to say that? That's what we've been told, to not value ourselves for who we are or what we are. So it's really an example for me and for many to see that, yes, you say, yes, I am a yogi. Yes, because I'm working on that. I'm growing. Yes. And I'm with that, I'm empowering others and helping others through my experience and through all the knowledge I have until now. Yes.
While it might be in some ways arrogant to call oneself a yogi, what I will never call myself, though, is a guru. Hence, I prefer spiritual guide. Because, see, this is controversial, really, and it's particularly controversial with those folk who are dedicated to a guru and worship a guru. I am I consider myself what I would call a post-lineage, both yogi and guide, because my yoga is not from any one lineage. It's an integration of what has seemed to me, with my biases, of course, but seemed to me to be the best, my preferences, but seemed to me to be the best of the best, all integrated into my own yogic practice. And so a post-lineage yogi and also a post-lineage guide, because what I'm absolutely determined, and really my main message for anyone that's listening and anyone that I ever guide more intimately than just, you know, listening to this on a one-with-one basis, is that the guru is within you. It's the same guru that's within me and the same guru that's within all of us. Because, yes, the absolute truth is I, and when I say I, I'm not speaking about the persona that's called John or responds to the name John or calls himself arrogantly Yogi John. That's a phantom in many ways, in very many ways. When I say I am, I'm speaking from the same I am that you are, which is I am when you say it, Jeanette.
Yes.
So I am infinite, I am eternal, I am an individuation of holy love.
Yes.
But no more so or less so, but no more so than you are, and no more so than our dear listener is that.
Yes.
Because we all are that. Now, none of us, of course, are all of that. We are all tiny little morsels of that, in the same way that waves are, we are part and parcel of that, in the same way that waves are part and parcel of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the sense in which we are all one.
Yes.
With everything.
Yes.
And each other.
Yes. I totally agree and feel it. I love it. And yes, when you were saying, well, I don't want to call myself a guru, I was going to tell you, but we all are gurus of ourselves. So
yes.
You are a guru also. You don't call yourself guru because not in the way that it's being said that gurus are and for people to follow gurus. No, you follow yourself because you are your own guru. And I am my own guru. And we all learn from each other through this same beingness.
Yes.
Through this same love and oneness that connects us. No? And here comes what is the uniqueness, no? That it makes us our own guru and also guides for someone else.
Yes. And that leads into an important point. And it's another way in which I know that I'm controversial and in many ways unpopular with other spiritual guides or authors or teachers, because what I also say is that any spiritual guide or author or teacher who has nothing whatsoever to say about the tyrannical elephant in the room, that's been in the room actually hiding behind the sofa for many decades, if not centuries and millennia, but recently has come out from behind the sofa and plonked itself, spread itself, sprawled itself across the sofa that we can hardly get a seat. Any spiritual guide who has nothing whatsoever to say about that tyrannical elephant in the room is whistling in the dark about pie in the sky. Because yes, everything we've said up till now, Jeanette, is the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, all is well. It has always been well. It always will be well. It cannot ever be anything but well. We do all in relative to eternity. We have already, all of us, arrived home in heaven.
Yes.
That's the absolute truth. It's the truth. It's nothing but the truth, but it's not the whole truth, because the whole truth has to include relative truth. And the relative truth is that things are not acceptable. We are not seeing heaven on earth, and the on earth as it is in heaven. The teaching is not, I am all right, Jack, in my non-dual pure awareness, and nothing else matters, and the world can go to hell in a handcart.
No.
As long as we are still inhabiting and animating these human nervous systems from the ethereal to the gross and all their aspects and layers and levels of what it is to be inhabiting a human nervous system, which is the whole of our experience. As long as we are inhabiting and animating these human nervous systems, and as long as we can sense through them that all is not right in the world, then there remains work to be done. And so outer liberty matters as well. And there can be no outer peace without outer liberty. Yes, first and foremost, we must be the change we wish to see in the world. We must do our own inner work, first and foremost, purify and open that nervous system, which is what all my yogic practices are about. But that's not the end of it. It's still not done until it's done externally, and that the external manifestation is a reflection of full inner peace and liberty. Does that make sense?
Yes, for me, as it's for me, it's what we say, the living from the inside out, no?
Yes.
What you are, you express outside. It's, and that's how we change the world, because we change the world because inside we have this liberty, this freedom. So outside we also express it. We also are. And if we are, we cannot permit any degradation of this freedom, of this beingness, or any adjustments to anything that doesn't go with what we are within.
Yes, and also while we're doing all that, though, humanity is under present, urgent, existential threat, with crimes being perpetrated against humanity, which we cannot ignore.
No.
There's a naivety about many, dare I say possibly most, well-intentioned, good-hearted spiritual guides that they think, well, I don't have to be concerned with that. Yes, you do.
At least express it, no? At least express it that the elephant is in the room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Professor Matthias Desmet, whose groundbreaking book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism, has recently been translated into English, not Spanish yet, I don't think, but that's coming soon. He says that the 10% of us that are awake must increasingly speak up, because even though that may not persuade many, it defends ourselves at least from the worst of the heinous crimes that are possible. Defends us against the possibility of it getting beyond a certain stage, you know. And in time, you know, because there are about 60% there are 30% who are gone, brainwashed, nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. There's about 60% who are just, you know, confused and bewildered. And the more that the 10% that are awake speak the truth about world events and current affairs, the more they begin to awaken. And once awakened, the great thing is they don't go back to sleep.
Yes, no, never again, because you have discovered this power of being, this limitless potential you have, and there's no one that will bring you back to the box.
Yeah.
No, never again.
Yeah.
So and in the positive impact movement, well, we're not political or religious, or anything, but this is something that what's happening today, the situation, yes, it has to be spoken about, not because of changing the current systems or religions, but because of changing ourselves, no? And through that change, create something new. Create something new that comes from within. I always say you cannot go against anything because you make it stronger. You have to go from within and break it. So the way to break it now, what we have is to really be ourselves, you know, discover this power of being and this freedom to be inside and outside.
Yes.
This is the strength that then allows us really to be love and to say no to everything else. That's the power we have.
Yes.
It comes naturally once you awaken. It comes naturally through this potential that you have discovered inside. It's not that you are going against and revolutionizing, nothing like that. You're just valuing, respecting, loving everyone else as you love yourself. And since you respect and love you so much and you know who you are and who everyone else is and this oneness, you protect that.
Yes.
And you defend that, like you were saying before. You defend it and you open up new ways.
It's the paradox, Jeanette, of having a peaceful heart and a warrior spirit. And, you know, we won't go far along the journey of spiritual advancement that awaits us beyond personal development. We won't go far along that journey without encountering and having to assimilate a paradox or two, you know. And so it is that paradox of peaceful heart with a warrior spirit. And you're right that it's a trap. It's a trap that I have to remind myself 100 times a day not to fall into, which is the notion that Earth's current, presently prevailing anti-civilization can be reformed or changed or fixed or improved into anything good. It cannot, more than a pig can be made pretty by having lipstick painted onto it, or a turd can be polished. It cannot be turned into anything good. And the great thing about it is, because it is parasitical in its nature, all that we have to do is withdraw our acquiescence, withdraw our obedience, and especially withdraw our fear.
Yes, especially.
And anger, but it likes our fear better. It'll settle for feeding on our anger, but really it wants our fear. Our anger's better than no food at all, but it wants our fear mostly. When we withdraw that fear and also withdraw our anger, transmuting it into courage, then it has to, because of its parasitical nature, devour itself.
Yes.
Because that's all that's left for it to feed upon is itself.
Yes.
And the more that we withdraw, acquiesce our acquiescence, our obedience, our anger, and especially our fear, withdraw it. You're not having my fear. Not one iota, ni una gota. As long as we do that, and enough of us do that, it's over, it's finished. And then, Jeanette, you're right, we co-create that which replaces it, which is, that's hell on earth, Earth's prevailing anti-civilization. We create the civilization of the universe, heaven on earth, from carte blanche, from carta blanca, here on earth, and organize movements like the Positive Impact Movement and others. We will see now, we are seeing already.
We are seeing, yeah.
An archipelago of such movements that will also recognize each other and reach out to each other with not one ounce of authority or top-down control or in a way, even organization or planning in a sense, but spontaneously, this now emerges. It started already.
It's starting, yeah.
It's very yeah. early in the exponent, but it's inevitable, though.
Yes.
We do win this.
Yes, I know that. I'm very sure about that. I was talking the other day with a friend of mine, and he was talking about systems. How do we change the system and other things? And I was saying, similar to you, the current system doesn't change. It's us changing it, creating something new. How and what? I don't know. It will come as we flourish and as we are, and the how will come along, no? And I was telling him, you don't see it, but I see a lot of many beautiful communities and movements coming up, and with people like us who believe in co-creation, not in competition at all, in empowering others, and seeing that the other movement is doing I don't know what, and being so happy that there are things happening and we are together co-creating something, even if still not much connected, but we are already recognizing each other and getting strength from that to continue, no, with the beingness, nothing else than the beingness, no, and the uniqueness, the yes, and the togetherness, if you may say, no. This and also the other thing I recognize every time more is that people really talk about that the future is based on love. It's love, but at the end it's that, because if we live from the inside out, we live from the heart to the world, we are creating from there, and that's the respect and the value that comes through that, the equalness, the knowing that we all are the same, no one is better than anyone else. There's knowledge that is different, but it's this collaboration, co-creation that then generates this whatever comes, whatever will come, and whatever it is already. And it's beautiful to see how the seed is breaking. Still lots to, still the flower to come out, but the seed is breaking.
It's a thrilling time to be alive in many ways.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's beautiful. Beautiful to see, you know, how 2 years ago it was different. It was really more system, and it was, but it's beautiful to see many more people now being socially conscious leaders, believing in themselves, many more than just 2 years ago. But it's like you're saying, 2 years ago, the elephant wasn't sitting on my sofa and I still had place to sit. Now I'm just in the very, very, very corner. And if I don't see it or feel it, then I must be really sleeping.
Yes. Z Great Reset, Z Great Technocratic, Tyrannical, Totalitarian Reset is the catalyst for our Great Awakening.
Yes.
And it's one or the other. It's a binary choice. Mm-hmm. It's either their Great mm-hmm. Reset or our Great Awakening. And yes. I know which one I'm voting for.
Yeah, me too.
And backing. And, you know, to some extent, I suppose, yeah, involved in the, yeah, I won't say leading. We're all self-leading. The point about socially conscious leadership is it's self-leadership. The days of needing to lead anybody else or follow anybody else are gone. We self-lead mm-hmm. while enjoying everybody else's self-leadership.
Yes.
And what you said there about while we have the differences, yes, please, it's the differences that it's the relishing of the differences, it's the variety that is the spice of life. And really, you know, when the powers, I'm putting powers in quotes because they're not powers, they're actually enforcers, but when mm-hmm. the powers that should not be speak about harmony, they never mean harmony, they always mean unison.
Yes.
And by definition, harmony requires a minimum of two frequencies for there different frequencies mm-hmm. For there to be a harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And so think of the wonderful harmony of 8 billion different frequencies, all expressing themselves joyously with all of their gorgeous different skin colors and sexual orientations and nationalities and cultural backgrounds and cuisine and music and dance and, on their graves. Let's but bailaremos encima de sus tumbas, no? Uno de estos días. Que no pueden venir bastante pronto.
Uno de estos días. Soon. But yes, it's this, I see like you, this colorful world.
Yes.
Colorful and lightful.
Yes.
World where with people dancing and enjoying life and freedom to be who they are and
yes.
to create what they love. And through the creation, what they love is this uniqueness, which is the what differentiates us, no? What gives yes. each of us another color, no?
Totally.
In this limitless universe of colors.
Totally.
And at the end, knowing that we all are the same because we all yes. are humans, we are all the same.
Yes, and to heck with the depopulation. The more, the merrier.
Yeah. And there's still more
yes.
place. But it's so beautiful. It's, yes, that's the world I see, no? Well, that's why going back to where you started, it's this world without governments, because yes. governments are governing. And in reality, this is all about co-creation.
Well, what the founding fathers of the United States of America said mm-hmm. about that, and it is still the best constitution of any government that I'm aware of, and what they said was that the only legitimate purpose of government was the guaranteeing of individual rights, and that's mm-hmm. the opposite of what every government existing on the planet today does. They all infringe our natural. And there may be one or two exceptions to that rule. I don't know how it is in Andorra, for example, really close to you, to you. I don't know. In the Principality of Andorra, I think that maybe the tiny government there might well be guaranteeing the individual rights of Andorras. But if so, it's so exceptional that it proves the rule. And sadly, you need to be extremely wealthy to qualify for residence there in the Pyrenees in Andorra. You know what I'm speaking about. And but, you know, that's the thing. And I totally see that once that were established, because all you would ever need to do that would be a court system for settling civil disputes and a local sheriff to protect against crime. That's all the government that you would ever need. And once we had lived a few years with that, we probably could do without both of those as well, couldn't we? So you're right, a world without governments, it's perfectly attainable.
Yeah, let's continue working on being to get yes. there. Yes, being freedom. So John, thank you so much for being here with me and everyone else here listening to us. I really love it to share with you.
And totally my pleasure and privilege, Jeanette. I should have warned you at the start, though, how long-winded I can be.
No, I love it. No. I've been with you 2 hours last time. So.
our listener might not feel the same way about it.
No, I should be okay. But I hope to continue the conversation in the future for everyone, for me and everyone, and to continue getting inspired by you with all what you do. I love it and I appreciate it a lot.
And thank you for your example and leadership, Jeanette, and just the shining beacon that you are, and that's what's both attracting and enlightening people are, shining beacons like you. And God bless you. Thank you for being who and what you are, and for expressing it so enthusiastically and brilliantly.
Thank you so much. And I'm just a reflection of you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, John. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to us. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.